your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name by the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Blessed be, oh, every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. Darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away, you give and take. Wonderful. You are Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Comforter, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Oh, so wonderful to me. Captivated by your beauty, we are captivated by your majesty, you're wonderful in all your ways, Jesus, Jesus. We lay aside every other thought, we lay aside every other dream, we lay aside every other struggle, and we say, yes, you are all we want, all we need. All we want, all we need. Jesus. Our Father, all of heaven roars your name, sing aloud. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. Our Father, all of heaven bows your name, sing loud. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Our Father, all of heaven rose your name, sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit break out. Break our walls down. Spirit break out.
Heaven come down.
King Jesus. King Jesus. Name we're lifting high, your glory. Shaking up the earth and skies. Revival. Want to see your kingdom here. We want to see your kingdom here, King Jesus. You're the name we're lifting high, your glory. Shaking up the earth and skies, revival. We want to see your kingdom here. See your kingdom here. spirit break out, break our walls down, spirit break out, heaven come down. Erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Right now, heaven's touching. Touching earth, reach out, heaven's touching earth, reach out and touch the face, reach out and touch his face. Wonderful, so wonderful is your unfailing love, your skies, your mighty works displayed for all to see. The beauty of your majesty awakes my heart to sing. Capture my heart with this love, 'cause nothing on earth is as as beautiful as you. You are my Redeemer, and you hear me with reassuring love and soars like an eagle in the presence of the Lord, as I circle the throne of God and behold His glory. And I behold the living creature singing, Holy, Holy, Holy. And I see the 24 elders bringing glory to the Lamb, and multitudes of angels rejoicing in His presence. Never seen anything like the beauty of the Lord. As I lift up my heart in praises, I fall down in waves of glory. Come and overtake me, and I'm immersed in the ocean of the living love of God. Waves and waves and waves of glory. Come and overtake me, and I'm immersed in the ocean of the living love of God. Once more, in waves of glory, come and overtake me, and I'm immersed in the ocean of the living love of God. And suddenly, I'm flooded with the glory of His presence.
God is our Redeemer. He's the one that buys back every good and perfect thing that He desires for us. God is our Redeemer. I want you right now to just speak even to your heart and your soul and speak openness. I declare over you in Jesus' name that you would be receiving, receptive to what Father is about to do. We've had a steady stream of words from the Lord this morning, and there's a thread that runs through them. Let's you and I right now commit to being receptive. You ready? Say, I will be receptive. Holy Spirit, I receive you. Come in, Holy Spirit. Say that again. Come in, Holy Spirit. I knock down walls and you knock down walls, but come in, Holy Spirit. Say, come in, Holy Spirit. We are ready to receive you. We're ready to know what you have for us. We're ready to step into those things that you have called us to. Earlier, there was a number of words about the breaking down of walls. You see, we put God in a box and we put us in a box. And what God wants us to do is to break down the walls, let Him come in and get out of boxes. No more boxes. Say, no more boxes. You are free, Holy Spirit, to do as you wish. Shift me into the likeness of the Father. In Jesus' name.
Just during worship, I had this quote come to me. I think it was Bill Johnson who said it. And I think I heard it in a message he gave. It had to be about 10 years ago. And I'm not sure if he originated the quote or not. But he said, don't let your expectation fall to the level of your experience. And he said, rather let God set your expectation up here and let the level of your experience rise to that expectation. And it's almost like we go through life living out of our expectation, not out of our expectation, but out of our experience. You know, somewhere down here. And yet, faith is what reaches higher. Faith is intertwined with expectation. If you have faith in something, you expect something. So I just believe that God is calling us to lift our expectation higher and let your level of experience rise to meet that expectation. And the picture I had was, it was almost like, because we're living out of our experience, we're walking around downcast. You know, your head's looking down, you're looking at your feet, walking through the week. And the sense I got this morning was that the Spirit of God is reaching out to us and actually lifting up our chin. And it was almost like the same notion as a light switch. You know, when the light switch is pointed down, it's off. When you reach out and lift it up, it goes on. And that was the connection I had between God reaching out and just lifting our chin up. It was almost like something clicked and went on. And the scripture he gave me was, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow or shifting of change. And it's, if you're walking through your week and looking down at your feet, you're probably going to get what you expect. But if you allow the Spirit of God to just click you back on, to lift your expectation above your level of experience, and by faith and by His Spirit, allow your experience to rise to meet that level of expectation, you'll receive those gifts and those perfect things and plans that He has for you. So, Holy Spirit, we just invite You to come, and that You would impart life and light and just a fresh expectation of Your love and the hope You have for us. And that You would just lift our vision higher yet again. Forgive us for looking back to ourselves, back to this earth for our hope and for our help. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. And I just have that sense this morning. Lift your vision higher. Set your expectation higher. Even allow God to set your expectation, because He's going to set it higher than you would. He's going to set it so high that you're going to need Him to lift you up there. So, Lord, we ask that You would do that in us this morning, this afternoon, this evening, and tomorrow, and the next day. Just come, Holy Spirit, and move on us again. And just even where you are sitting right now, if you can, in your heart, look at who God is to you and let Him reach out to you and let Him lift your chin up. So often we get stuck on who we are and what we have done. And it's almost like we think God's goodness can't overcome our badness. And I just have the sense it's time to get over yourself. See yourself through God's eyes and repent for looking at yourself through your own eyes and let Him be the lifter of your countenance. And it seems like this is kind of the type of message where you could take it or leave it. You know, you could grab hold of it and run with it, or you could just go back to the way things have been. But I feel like it's a more serious message than we want to even acknowledge, because if you look at the examples through the Bible and through history, you tend to get what you're looking at. You tend to acquire that which you fix your gaze upon. And some people found that out in a good way, and some people found that out in a bad way. There's another quote I'm reminded of, and I'm not sure who said this one, but the direction of your gaze determines your condition. So I just want to encourage myself and each one of you again. Let Him be the one who lifts your chin up and keep your eyes fixed on Him, the author and the perfecter of our faith.
Nature of this spiritual conflict is that is operative right now in a sense in that God wishes to lift our expectations, our eyes, our hope in an upward way, and I don't know, at least a few of us would resist that attempt of God. Not really trying to resist God, but just saying, well, it doesn't work, it won't work, I can't do that. And that is the very nature of the spiritual conflict that's ongoing. And there's a opportunity to say, okay, I will allow you to lift my eyes. I will allow you to give me greater expectations. I choose to believe that what you want to do is life for me, and I choose to go there. I choose it. The reality is that God will not force you to do anything. Even the good things that He wants to accomplish for you, He needs your agreement. Or you can resist him and say, no thanks, I won't go there, and you don't need to go. You can park right where you are. Or you can say, yes, Lord, I hear your voice. I feel your touch. I choose to go with you.
When Nate came to me earlier, one thing that he said slightly differently than he did when he came up, he said, I think that sometimes we actually are living below not what God has called us to set our expectations at, but actually even below our experience with God. You see, we have, most of us have experienced things of God. And in some ways, the enemy turns even the experiences of God down in our minds and twists them and says, devalues them. And so then our expectation goes even below our experience with him. And this is not where we should live. This is not where we should live. Jocelyn has a few things to share with us in that regard.
Recently, the Lord has led me to do a couple of prayers that I don't think I've ever done before. Well, haven't done them together. The first thing that he started talking to me about was the healing of my memories. And what he was talking about is there are times when there are memories that I have where I haven't seen the Lord at work, or I've forgotten what the Lord has done in my life. And so he's been asking me to pray for my memories so that the Lord could reveal where he was in those times. And the second thing was that my imagination would not be used by the enemy, but by God. And so he keeps talking to me. Now, I have had times when I felt like my imagination was really getting used by God, and there's no way that's ever going to happen. But, okay, if you say it, then okay. But recently, because of my memories being so filled up with the enemy's thoughts, not God's thoughts, not where was God, then it made it so that it was difficult for me to imagine again with the Lord. And so then the Lord started having me pray that my imagination would be used by God. And it has begun to do something in me. I got a lot further to go, but it has begun.
So we're gonna take that as a 1-2. We're gonna pray with her for ourselves, each of us, okay? And I'm gonna take one, and you can add on to one, and then you're gonna take two, okay?
Okay.
So Father, we just come before you, and those memories that have been polluted by the enemy, and those memories where all we can remember is the evil, even though you were good, and we can't see it because of the. We pray right now that you would show us, reveal yourself to us in those moments. Tell us the truth about what we remember falsely. Help us to see you and your goodness, even in those things where we have assigned them to totally evil and totally hard. Mm-hmm. We ask that you would heal our memories and reveal yourself to us, even in our history, because you are good. You always have been good. And And we choose now to trust you and open our memories and our whole history up. You shift. Now, Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, you will touch every person in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And that even memories right now, that there would be memories that you would shift, that you would turn into that which is good and mm-hmm. true and right.
Amen.
I just decree healing. I release the power of God to heal memories right now in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. To shift how we think about our history right now in Jesus' name. I decree a release of healing. Lord, you were there mm-hmm. and you were good. Now mm-hmm. we didn't understand it. And we maybe yes. still don't see all of it, but you were there and mm-hmm. you were good. Because you always are good mm-hmm. and you always are there. Redeem those memories.
Mm-hmm.
Reverse the curse of those memories. Change how we think about those things. We open ourselves up to you to speak into us and to shift who we are, even in our memories.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we pray that you will cause us to see our experiences in the light of your goodness and see our experiences as you see them through redemption, not as we see them through destruction. Give us your eyes to see, we pray.
Lord, I also ask that you would heal the emotions that went with those the lying emotions, and that you would reveal and even place in us emotions that are different in those memories, that we would feel your goodness even in those memories, Lord. And Lord, I also ask that you would be the Lord over our imaginations, that yes. there would be no way that the enemy could get in to our imaginations, that you would guide us and lead us so that we can reach out for things that we never imagined that we could reach out for, so that we could walk where you have destined us to walk. Be Lord, be Lord. One of the things that happened to me that got me thinking about my imagination was, and I talked about this with a bunch of people. I don't know if I've talked with you guys, but I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but we were talking about God the Creator, and when that happened, I saw my son who's always drawing on stuff. If he has a pen, he's drawing. If he has a pen and paper, he's drawing on paper. If he doesn't have a pen and paper and all he's got is himself, then he's going to draw on himself. You can't take the artist out of him. If all he's got is cheese and crackers, you're going to get the fanciest cheese and crackers you've ever seen. And so... when I was thinking about that, the Lord said to me, I'm creator. And so he wants to create something in our lives. He doesn't ever want to stop creating. That's who he is. He can't help himself. He's creator. And you guys are the ones that he wants to create in. It's awesome. So we have to imagine bigger. Lord, we want to have you create things in us. We want our minds to be able to receive new creation, new things that have never been imagined before. We want to be able to receive those things. Help us, Lord. Heal our imaginations. Bring us to a place where we can imagine with you. Imagine with you. That's awesomely big thing, Lord, but that's what you want for us. And so we agree in Jesus' name.
Ever since I came in this morning and sat down over here, I was telling G3 that I felt like I was going to explode inside, and I didn't know why. It didn't seem like a good thing. I was very restless, couldn't really understand why, and God began to speak to me as I was sitting there. I want to start with something that happened this morning in the prayer room. Jocelyn started talking. We were talking about the sickness that's going around, and, you know, people are struggling with that. And then we got talking about flu. Jocelyn said that, I can't remember, it was somebody's office or something, that they were had the flu. And so she said, interestingly enough, she said they are purging the office, wiping everything down, cleaning everything up, getting rid of the virus that was there. So that was earlier. Diane said to me while we were sitting there, does the scripture that talks about cleaning you with hyssop say purge? And so we looked it up, and it does not. But just a couple minutes ago, she handed me the bulletin, and that same scripture is on there, and it says, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. It's the same scripture that Diane had mentioned this morning while we were sitting in the room. Okay, so I get in here, the Lord begins to speak to me about what he's doing. And the sense that I had was, he was saying, those things that I have spoken over each and every one of you, not only corporately over this body, but the things that I have spoken over you personally need to be taken more seriously. And I got thinking about that. I was thinking to myself that sometimes, I know for myself, that I will say, well, the Lord spoke this over me, and I'll tell somebody. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that I heed what God is saying to me, that I hear within my spirit man that which he has said, rather than just think, well, that's nice that was spoken over me. And so there's something I believe that God is saying to us about taking that which he speaks to us seriously. The Lord says that I have called you. I have called each and every one of you individually. And that which I have spoken over you is still yes and amen. That which I have said to you is that which I have designed for you to walk within my kingdom. I'm calling you to those areas that you have wandered off the side. I am calling you back to center. I am calling you back to exactly that which I have spoken to you. Nothing more, nothing less. I am calling you back to that plan that I have had for your life from the foundation of the world. I am calling you to stand in the place that I have put you. I know for myself I'm not happy with where I'm at. I'm not happy with where I've been. And that's a personal thing. But the Lord is purging. In the same way that He is purging DC, in the same way that He is purging Hollywood, in the same way that He is purging every part of this nation, I believe He's saying that the church is no exception. The body is no exception. I will have a purified body. And so for myself, when He's calling me back to center, we sang this morning, God's my redeemer. He will redeem the good in us. But the things in us that don't line up with Him need to be purged. And so I say, God, do it in me, Lord. Amen. And do it in everyone else whose heart says, do it in me, God. I pray, Lord, that we would be serious about where You're moving right now. That we would put ourselves in line with that which You are saying.
Okay, so one of the things about being white as snow, I'm going to give you a little bit of a story. If I took a cord and put it into red dye, there is nothing that I can do to make that white cord as white as it once was. I can't. What God is saying is that He wants to take those things that we see as our sin and make it white as snow. The only way to do that is to change the past and make it as though it, not even make it as though it never happened, but make it that it never happened. So when He's saying He's forgiving us for the things that we did in our past, it's as far as the east is from the west. What He's done is He changes our past. We're the ones that hang on to it. Our past is no longer. We've learned things. We're different people. He's happy with that. But our past never actually happened. We're as white as snow.
Thank you.
In support of what Nate said, but maybe from a little different perspective, what caught me is a couple of things. One, in terms of Nate's hand gestures, in terms of expectations versus experience, and the fact that he said this might be a message that you can kind of either take it or leave it. What we should be aware of, and there's no weekend better than to be aware of this, is the craftiness of the enemy and what is going on in this country. The dialogue this weekend will be around a couple of things: a march for life, or a march for women, and the government shutdown, and who's to blame. Everybody at the enemy's behest will be talking about the right and the left. It'll be Republican, it'll be Democrat, it'll be liberal, it'll be conservative, it'll be patriot, it won't be patriot, even if you watch the football games. And they show who stands or who kneels for the national anthem. They will make it an issue of right or left. There's only in this country a remnant, to Nate's point, that is working in, for the physicist here, a different plane, which is the up and the down. And if we get caught up in thinking a person, a party, an ideology, or anything else that's based on right or left, we have forgotten to look up and know the consequences of looking down. You are a remnant, a small remnant of the people in this country against the powers of darkness that are feeding the wrong message. Think about it. When you listen to the radio, watch television, or see what's going on today, is where that, it's the wrong battle. But that's what consumes everybody. Don't make a difference who's sitting in the White House or not, what ideology and so forth. If we don't grab onto God, we're going down. You know that, but very few people, and probably virtually no one on television or on the radio other than a Christian commentator, is even aware of or thinking about it in that dimension. Okay? Up and down, not just right and left. Yes? But we know who is the way, the truth, and the life, right? And you saw the life in the demonstration on Wednesday, but the publicity will swing to the march on Saturday, and it'll be oriented around, again, various variations of the right and the left here without thinking about what Friday was the important thing, life. You said life, truth, and the way. We know that, but you got all these voices speaking the wrong argument to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. That is probably an essence of what I'd like to share just a little bit about this morning. I heard the Lord yesterday as I was seeking his face about today. I heard him say, there will be a time, and then there will be a different time, and there will be yet another time, but none of these define you. You see, there's stuff going on, to Jocelyn's point, in our memories, to Nate's point, in our expectations, to Bob's point, in our world. There's stuff of time that has twist in it. I'm going to tell you one of the major twists, and Bob brings it out beautifully. Well, are you a Republican or are you a conservative? Are you a Democrat? Which are you? I'll tell you what Jesus would have said to answer that question. No. Right? He'd have said no. Which side are you on? You know, this side or that side? He'd say, no. Okay? Here's the reality. We are not defined by this plane. Nor are we defined by some categorization within this plane. We're not defined by that which is tossed around in this plane. You are not defined by time because you are defined eternally. And it's the eternal nature of God operating in you. It's your eternal nature. Can I tell you what your eternal nature is? Let me tell you the precise definition of your eternal nature. Father's eternal nature. Okay, your eternal nature, I challenge you to give me a distinction between your eternal nature and Father's eternal nature. Go ahead. There is no distinction. There's no difference. There's no space in between them. Father has given to us everything of himself. And your eternal nature is precisely the Father's eternal nature. Now, one of the tricks the enemy loves to play, I appreciate what Bob said today, because one of his favorite tricks is, what's the joke? Dad used to tell a joke, you know. Have you stopped stealing from your neighbor? Okay, that's the question. Have you stopped stealing from your neighbor yet? Well, give me a yes or no answer to that. Well, no. Oh, you're still stealing from your neighbor. Have you stopped stealing from, yes, I stopped. Oh, so you used to steal. No, neither, no, what? No. There's false dichotomies that are out there all the time. And the enemy loves to push you into either this or that. Well, you can't be neither of those. You got to be one of those, right? No. As Jesus said, no. For the pre-incarnate Christ and outside of Jericho, are you for us or are you for the enemy? No. 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 You are not defined by this world or the things in this world. You are not defined by space-time, nor the stuff of space-time. Not categorizations, not awarenesses of. You are not defined by that. It's the eternal nature of God that operates within you that defines you. Jesus said that we are not of this world. Actually, if you look in the Greek, it's sourced in or out of this world. We are not proceeding forth from the nature of this world. Okay, we are not of this world. He says, we have been chosen out from this world, but we are not sourced out of this world. Because his kingdom does not proceed forth from space-time, but from that which is beyond space-time into this realm. One of the major goals of the enemy is to get you to think timishly. If he can get you to think either this or that, oh, you're a Republican, or you're a conservative, or you're a liberal, or you're for or you're against Trump, right? You know, who made Trump the deciding factor of all of the universe? Who made Trump define you? Who made anything the issue over which you're defined and broken and made one or the other? Who says? I'll tell you, there is a defining issue, and that is the Father himself. Himself, he is the defining issue. And therefore, the plane upon which that issue is broken is, are you time-ish or are you life-ish? Are you real, eternal, transcendent, or are you sourced in those things which are in this time? Nate says, get your expectation. Let Father lift your head. What he's saying is let your eyes be fixed on that which cannot be seen with regular old eyes. When the light switch goes on, we see things which are not observable in the visible spectrum, if you understand what I mean. We see that which is beyond what we can see when we let our eyes be lifted up. Keith says to us that we have the Word of the Lord. Now, many of you do. And some of us have allowed the Word of the Lord to be polluted in our minds or just not acted upon. Because of time-ish things. Right? Time comes along and stuff happens. In fact, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus talks about a seed that is sown among thorns, his word that comes into a life, and the worries of the world, that word there is cosmos, it's the worries of this time, this created realm, okay? The worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word and becomes unfruitful. Now, let me just say to you, there are those that are very confused about all sorts of things, but there are those that are confused about the Word of the Lord. Let me just tell you something. The Word of the Lord is available to you. It's powerful. It's sharp. It accomplishes. But it's like a sword. If He gives you a sword, you can put it in your pocket and, you know, slice open your pocket if you want. Or you can take it out and use it for what it was intended and get to where it was calling you to go. You understand what I mean? The Word of the Lord, the Word of the Lord to you is open to your, you decide. He doesn't force it down your throat. One day, you know, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, Jesus Christ is the Lord, no doubt. That will happen, okay? There will come a time when your free will no longer exists in the way it does now. But right now, and through all of your time-ish life, you have free will to use or not use the Word of the Lord. To set your expectation according to the Word of the Lord, or to set your expectation according to your experience, or below your experience, because the enemy's come in and lied about your experience. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The Word of the Lord is available to you, and it is your opportunity. But it's not what you have to be or do. It's what you can. You get to decide that. It's your call. Well, let me quickly go. You cannot measure the eternal by what happens in time. Does that make sense? You can't measure the eternal by what happens in time. But you can point to the eternal through what happens in time, and that, in fact, is your call, okay? You are called to be so sourced in the eternal that it's obvious to those in time that you're sourced not in time. So when somebody asks Bob, are you this or are you that, he can say no, okay? No, I'm neither. I'm not those things. I'm sourced beyond your spectrum, beyond your divide. So you can't measure the eternal by what happens in time, but you can point to the eternal through what happens in time. But there's a facet of your eternal reward which will be measured by the extent that the eternal God works through you in time. So I'm going to say that again. There is a portion of your eternal reward that will be measured by the extent that you allow the eternal God to work through you in time. That's why you need to allow your history to be refined, redeemed, I think was your word. Changed even how we see the old me. And very importantly, how we see there, that which I'm going to, where I'm heading to. It's essential that we imagine with God, that we see with God beyond where we have been, beyond our experience. Not being defined by our experience, but being defined by the eternal God who draws us beyond experience into greater experience. Let our experience come up to the expectations imagined by God and released by God into our imaginations, that we could co-create them. You were created for good works, Jocelyn. You were intended for something beyond what you have ever experienced. He built these things according to the scriptures that you could walk in them, but he hasn't forced you to do it, but he'll let you co-create as you walk into those places.
The co-creation, just define the co-creation. What are we talking about?
To co-create he has unique. So I'm just going to talk about Jocelyn for a moment because Jocelyn's easy to talk about. We won't talk about her behind her back. We'll talk about her in front of her. How about that? So God built a beautiful, wonderful woman. And she'll agree with me when I say that she hasn't always lived up to the fullness of her potential or the fullness of the call of God in her life. But that doesn't stop God from desiring to co-create with her. He is ready to give her vision for who she can be in the midst of circumstances that are crazy and essentially incomprehensible to her on this plane. He'll co-create with her solutions, redemptions, life, abundant life, which, what does it look like? What does co-creating look like? It looks like she's changed how she thinks, and his power is released to accomplish good things in this world. Is that what you're asking for? What are you asking for?
That's what I'm asking for, and I just like the situations, whatever the now situation is, the possibility of hearing from God and participating with God, which changes the situation. Just a micron.
Well, it's actually God's a micron, but it's actually dimensionally changed. Yep. Okay, and so here, let me say to you that almost always, I mean, you look in your difficult situations in your life, and you really only have maybe two or three choices, this one, or that one. That was a lie. The truth of the matter is that you see two or three choices, and then God co-creates something completely different. Very often, when God desires to do something, he does something altogether different than you expected. Is he limited to your choices? Is he limited to the number of choices that you have in your mind or that somebody would try to impose on you? Can I tell you something? Almost always in our thinking about our options, we have thought of far too few, almost dimensionally speaking. We think in a time-ish way and we say, oh, well, these are the things that might happen. I could possibly get here, or maybe that'll just happen over there. And the answer is something different than that, something up here. And that's co-creation. God shifts altogether even the realms of possibility. That's why he lifts our chin to expect more, because we don't have to be limited to the obvious choices.
The obvious choices often are based on our experience, what we have experienced or seen or heard, and so those are the options. And how dumb to think that the only options are those five or so, either what we've experienced or what we've read in a book, that's it. Well, that leaves God out of the equation altogether, and the co-creation thing is to lift it ahead.
You know, I want to... What's that? It's leaning on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths, and he'll take you in paths that you can't get to from here. He'll co-create ways for you to get there.
I was just going to say that, okay, so my voice isn't working, sorry. We think of it as a page in a coloring book, predetermined, fill in between the lines. And what God gives us is a blank page and gives us the authority to go with his will and draw something in there that wasn't even on the page.
And yesterday, Estella, my daughter invited me to do some artwork with her. And so there was a page, and I began putting paint on that page. And this morning I looked at it, and the most interesting parts of what happened yesterday with respect to that artwork that I created wasn't in the dimension of the page. It was out of the dimension of the page. It was because parts of the paint were thicker than others, and how it dried, it looked really interesting. And so it's not even that he says, you draw your own lines. He gives you another dimension even to play with. And if you use that one up, he'll give you yet another. The reality is that it's not within the lines. It's not even within the dimension. It's beyond the dimension that he calls us to live. That's his purpose. His purpose is to co-create with us. He did not create us in his image to not be creators. The creator did not create us in his image such that we would not be creators. The creator created us in his image to be creators with him. Duh. Exactly. Duh. Okay, I'm with you. Duh. Actually, just to let you know, in my notes, what's that word right there? Duh. Right there. Duh. Okay, honestly, duh is one of those words that we're going to use today, okay? For real, okay?
Just prophesying.
Just prophesying, that's all right. Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. We need to believe. Say, I believe. We need to believe. I believe. I believe. So let me just talk to you just very briefly. Let me assure you again. Let me speak to you strongly. You are in time for eternity. You are from eternity into time. Yes, for time, but for eternity. Okay? And the co-creation that will happen in time, yes, it's for stuff that will happen in time. But the stuff that happens in time is for eternity, okay? Again, you don't measure eternity by time, but what happens in time impacts eternity. Understood? There's so much that I could share with you today, and I don't want to do too much, but John 12:25, he who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. One of the major enemy's goals, one of his major goals, is to have you think limitedly and timishly. He wants you to think in this realm and in this dimension, because if he can get you to believe that there is nothing but what you see and what you can do here. There's nothing, no choices but Republican and Democrat. There's nothing else you can do. If he can get you to think in this realm, you can only choose to do this or to say yes or to say no. No, actually, that's not true. You could be silent. There's yet another choice. You could say something completely different. I love in the scriptures how Jesus comes up with, somebody says, blah, 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 here's my question. And he says, and the scriptures say, and he answered and he said to them, and he said something completely, he doesn't even answer their question, okay?
It's not even similar to what they're talking about. He goes after what God is speaking, not being defined or determined by the choices. Do you have multiple choice in your life? You have far more than multiple choice. You have God choice in your life. That's what co-creation means. Will you choose choice A, B, C, D, or E? Well, actually, God is saying this. How about that? That's co-creating in your life. Let me just say to you, I feel like I need to go to someplace. Hang on one second. Let me just check with Dad. I want to speak to you about duh. I want to talk to you about your eternal nature. Okay? I want to talk to you about the attributes of God. Somebody tell me, what's my personal favorite attribute of God? Somebody tell me. What's that? Holy will come in a minute. Love is one is my personal. That's a good one. I'll get to that one also. But my personal favorite is his love and his goodness. Okay? I just so enjoy how good he is. He always is. And when Jocelyn talks about healing of memories, every one of our memories has to come into alignment with the truth that God was there, because he's always there, and that he was good and was loving in that memory. Now, how do you get there? Oh, it's a miracle. You'll have to co-create with God. But he is good and he is loving, and that's always, always true. His goodness and love is measured eternally, although it's expressed temporally. It's sourced in eternity. It's visible in time. It's pointing in time to the eternal. And it's measured and rewarded in eternity. When you truly love, Kathy, when you release love here, his love, the real thing, when you co-create with him in love, it is noted eternally and it is rewarded eternally. Because you're being an eternal person. You're being just like your Father. You're exhibiting your own personal, your eternal nature, which is God's eternal nature. Okay? Goodness and love, other words in that realm, in that dimension, are kindness and mercy, graciousness, his benevolence and favor toward us, his gentleness. Those are your eternal nature. Are you aware of that? Say, I am good. Say it. Yeah, want to know why? Because you got him on you inside. Okay? And your most fundamental nature is him. Okay? Now, I realize Jesus said there is none good but God, right? Right? So was Jesus saying he wasn't good or was Jesus good? I want to know. Which was it? Was Jesus good or was Jesus not good? But there was none good but God. Yeah. That's right. And I'm going to tell you another thing. You are one with God. You have been made one with him. So there's none good but God. And that's your personal eternal nature. Fundamentally. Essentially, at the very core of who you are, is him. And he's good, and he has love. Amen. Number two, Mom talks about holiness. Duh. Holiness is external. Holiness is other than. Holiness is out there. He's eternal. Therefore, he's way different. He's holy. He's differently motivated than those that are sourced in time. Duh. He's eternal. And so he's holy. Duh. You're eternal. And you're holy. Duh. His justice and his righteousness and his goodness in the sense of righting every wrong is part of this whole arena. I'd just like you to say, duh, God's holy. Say that. No, when you say, duh, therefore I'm holy. Say, duh, therefore I'm holy. That's right. Because he is your essential eternal nature. Faithfulness, another one of my absolute favorites, the favorite attributes of God. You know, he's eternal, and therefore he's faithful. I mean, duh. How could he not be faithful? He's eternal. He's outside of time, and time changes, but he doesn't. Duh. He's faithful. Duh. You're faithful. Okay? Okay? He's eternal and thus temporally unchanging. You're eternal and thus unchanging in your essential attributes. Sourced in eternity, visible in time, pointing to the eternal, measured and rewarded in eternity. He is immutable, the Alpha and the Omega, as Richard said. He is unchangeable, everlasting, eternal, transcendent. And because of that, he's patient. So are you. Say, duh. Yeah, you're patient. You're patient in trial. And the reason you're patient in trial is because fundamentally you are eternal and unchanging. That's who you are. Essentially, at the center of who you are his. He is your eternal nature. The final one that I want to just tack on here is peace and joy and patience. Patience and peace and joy. You see, he's eternal. He sees the end from the beginning. He has nothing to worry about, does he? From his eternal perspective, he can see the whole of time and it got done. Did it get done? It got done. He looks at it. There it is before him. All of time and space and, it, you know, check. Accomplished, right? Now you and I, we're if we see in time, we're still waiting for some things to get done, right? But he's outside of time looking and he sees it all and it's done. Because he sees the end and the beginning all at the same eternal moment. He doesn't need to wait because he sees it all. That's his eternal nature. So therefore, he's joyful about it. Because it went well. Just to let you know, in the end, it all went very, very well. Or maybe it will have gone very well. Whatever your timing is, it went well from his perspective. So of course he's at peace. Of course he's delighted in joy. Duh, he's eternal. Say, duh, I'm eternal. The reality is that he is your eternal nature. And so of course joy is your portion. Of course peace is your portion. Because in the end, it all went well. Now, we haven't gotten there yet in this kind of time. But in the end, it all went well. Joy is your portion. Peace is your portion. Patience, even, is your portion. Because in the end, it all went well. Do you have a comment or a question?
I was just going to comment and say, Jesus, he was on a cross. It is finished.
It is. It is.
Daniel, yeah.
It is finished. And the reality is, from an eternal perspective, he was on the cross before time happened. He was on the cross in the middle of time. And by the end of time, he's on the cross. But the reality is, everything got done. It is finished. And it's really good what he did. So of course he's full of joy. Of course you're full of joy. Right? Duh. Okay.
Duh.
His goodness is predetermined. So there's no worry. Say, no worry. The timing's the only issue in time, but it's not an eternal issue because it's done, eternally speaking. Say, no anxiety. Say, no anxiety. Say that to yourself. Say, no anxiety. God's got that one taken care of. Say, no anxiety. Duh. All right, good. And furthermore, justice and goodness are guaranteed in eternity on the basis of who he is. True? Gonna disagree with me? Come on, come on. Okay, so justice and goodness are guaranteed, right? So there's no other place for sadness. Do you agree with me? Because it all went well in the end. So if you scroll ahead to the end of your life, go ahead, scroll ahead. Go ahead. You know, all the way to the back of the book. Go, 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 go. Got it? Last page. And they lived happily ever, forever, forever, forever. It all went well in the end. Say, duh. Because his eternal nature is my eternal nature. Say that. His eternal nature is my eternal nature. This is why we have the fruit of the Spirit. Is because we see beyond that which can be seen. We know by his knowing, we know who he is. And therefore, we know where we're going. And how it all ends. We know. Fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. And the wonderful thing about it is, it's just how he is. It's because he's eternal. It's one of these duh things, right? Thank you, God, for the obviousness of your goodness and your faithfulness and your love, your holiness, your peace and your joy. We choose to let you lift our chin. We choose to let you set our expectations higher than our experience. We choose to not be limited by the choices that our world would give us. We choose not to think timishly. We choose to think eternally. We choose to set our affections on that which is above and not on that which is on the earth. We choose to have you be our goal. We choose you to be our end point. We choose to believe that you are our eternal nature. And we open our hearts and our lives and our minds and our awareness to co-create with you. And we are grateful. In Jesus' name. Amen. Agreed? Lord bless you. Love you all. Grace, grace, grace to you.